Welcome, everyone, to this latest episode of the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and with me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Heidi-ho.
And joining us this week, we have only one guest. We were supposed to have two. We were supposed to have Denny Atkin returning to the show, but sadly, he had a little emergency with a sick son, so he couldn't join us. That's sad. I hope your son feels better, Denny. And but joining us to talk about this interesting project is Paul Weston. I said that right. Right, Paul?
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, it's not a hard name. I just wanted to make sure. So, Paul, you have a project which is called NCC 1701 Enterprise, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's basically a full rendering, a full modeling of the original series Constitution class Enterprise.
That's right, TOS.
So tell us how this got started. I mean, I've wanted something like this forever, but it's awesome that it's happening. So tell us how this got started, how long you've been working on it, who else is working on it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it's just a colleague and I, Brian Murray, and he's a guy, he and I go way back, about 20 years or so, business, you know, personal, whatever. We'd worked on various projects and businesses in the past, and this is something he's always been in animation and 3D, and he discovered the Torque engine and wanted to learn to make games, and I was his coder guy that he brought in, you know? So, yeah, he's a big original series Trek head. He thought the best way to learn the engine would be to, you know, build the bridge of the Enterprise for fun, and, you know, the guy's a little obsessive. He turned the bridge into, like, you know, now I'm going to build the whole saucer, and then now I'm going to build the hull, and anyway, so while he's learning the engine, he's building this whole ship, and, you know, he's tasking me with, well, make this work. Can you make this work? Can you do this? And so between the two of us, we had to kind of learn the engine as we went, and this little hobby project turned into building the whole thing and kind of trying to really capture that original series feel, but yet still having to fill in the blanks, so to speak, you know? So
yeah, don't ever let him find Minecraft or you'll never see him again.
Yeah. He's tried it. It didn't turn his crank, which is good, you know. Because, yeah, I got lost in that for a couple of weeks myself, and I managed to pull out of it, you know, pull out of the Minecraft addiction, and, yeah, I've been there.
Very cool. So, like, I'll admit, when I was a kid, I had all those Trek manual, you know, I had Scotty's Guide to the Enterprise.
Yeah,
I had the Star Trek Tech manual, the original series one, that big black book.
That was awesome. Wasn't it? That was,
oh, yeah. I would spend hours just paging through that and studying every little bit I could remember. So I'm wondering what kind of research you guys did. Like, what books did you read? What resources did you guys use to build this thing? Because you saw the video, but I went through a little more than that, and it's impressive how much detail is in
this. Yeah, well, again, technical manual, the original Franz Josef blueprints, other blueprints on, there's a website that has a collection of all the various versions of blueprints that are available for all the different ships kind of thing. You run into a bit of muddy water here. A lot of people think Franz Josef's stuff was, you know, amazing, but wasn't as faithful to the show or whatever. So, you know, we had to kind of pick and choose what made sense to us. We like Franz Josef's whole concept because the entire ship, and his blueprints is completely redundant. The saucer and the lower section, there's duplication everywhere. Everything makes sense. You know, of course, some parts of the show don't match that. So, you know, we had to kind of change a few things to make it work. But basically, we relied on archival footage. We have all the original series on DVD. You know, we'd page through and find stuff and say, okay, we'd have to change this to make that look like that. Yeah, so a lot of video research and a lot of paper. Like you said, the tech manual, the technical manual, fantastic. Just for getting, you know, getting the whole feel for everything. And, yeah, you know, different sources.
Jim, you're going to say something? Jim?
Jim?
Yeah, sorry, I had an audio problem. Anyway, I was wondering, I wandered around for like an hour trying to find the bathroom on the ship. Because I wanted to see what, like, the star poopers were like.
I'm surprised.
I can't find it.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
Oh really?
Yeah, I did find one. You have to find a crew quarters, and then they connect the crew quarters. There's like a set of crew quarters. There's like two areas, and in the middle is the bathroom.
Yeah, like
I was expecting something a little more military.
Yeah,
or, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you look at Battlestar Galactica, you want to walk in and see like the whole, you know, the whole set of sinks and all that. That's an idea. Yeah,
Starfleet's not much of a military. I'm just going to say it right now. They're kind of a joke organization, I feel. And, yeah, they're just kind of like, oh, it's a cruising ship. It's a military ship, but we want to make it like a cruise.
Well, they have that Star Trek technology, right? So you could just technically, like, I don't even understand why they need medicine in Star Trek, because they have the transporters, right? So you step in the transporter, they transport everything but the bad things, and then you're cleaned out, right? Like, so I would assume that could work with poop as well. They could have just like a transporter toilet that just beams the poop out.
Probably.
Yeah, see? And you wouldn't even need the – think of the uptick in efficiency if you never really had to get up.
You would just beam from your quarters to your seat, to your station.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like an abusive beamer. I'd be like, I don't want to walk anywhere. Obesity would be rampant in the Starfleet universe. Did you notice there's no fat people at all in Next Generation?
Because we're supposed to be a higher level of evolved people or something like that.
I just think, like, I need to fit into last year's pants. Let's go through the transporter once, fix it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they just save you on your best day, right? Save you in the system.
Exactly. Load a quick save.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I love my hair today. Save this hair, computer. I always want this hair.
But yeah, no, as far as bathrooms, too, like, even on if you didn't find a pool, you'd find there's change room, there's sets of showers there, there's, like, you know, there's a whole exercise room.
There's a pool?
Oh, yeah. There's a pool. Wow. On deck, yeah.
On deck what? Which deck? Because I have to find it now.
It's down right behind the main deflector.
Yeah. Really?
Right below the Deck 19 battle bridge there.
I should remember that, but I'm not. It's been so long since I read those books. Because I'm remembering the TARDIS as a swimming pool, but I didn't remember the Enterprise as a swimming pool. But, yeah, because I spent probably about 2 hours just walking and turbo lifting and shuttling, and it's really impressive.
It's great, eh? Just you can really go anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, how many man hours did you say you put into this?
It's really hard to say. I mean, we had to redo it like 3 times, you know? Like, he built the ship one way, you know, and then it just wasn't working, it wasn't loading, and we kept running into memory issues, you know? And that's probably one of the reasons we're the first guys to actually pull this off. It's actually not easy. Like, anybody can design a model in 3D Studio and have it look beautiful, but can you put it in an engine and have it all work, right?
That's true, yeah.
So he had to keep – he rebuilt the entire ship top to bottom 3 times trying to find the best way to handle the memory with the way that the thing is constructed, the polygons and everything else, right? And then we had to find a way – we had to wait for the engine to catch up to where we were. And so Torque would put out a new version that improved certain things. And finally they came up with this concept of zones and portals where you can, like, lock out a whole area and you know, it's there, but it's not visible. It's not rendered until you pop into that area. You know, or if you're looking through a portal like a window or through a stairwell at the lower deck, what you see will be rendered. So by, you know, once the engine caught up to where we were and his models were good enough, we were actually able to load all 24 decks. And as you move about, you're popping from zone to zone, objects are popping in. And you'll see them pop in sometimes, but more often than not, it's pretty instant, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask how, because, yeah, it's like the whole ship is rendered in memory, I think I read somewhere. Like, how does it all work? How does the engine render the whole thing? Like, I saw that you can render one deck at a time or one sec, like the saucer section or the drive section, the engineering section. But how do you render all that at once? How does the engine do that?
Well, it's just, again, it's through this this concept of zones. Like, we put a big cube around each of the decks, right? So there's 24, you know, big cube shapes, rectangular, you know, boxes around, one around each deck. Every object on a deck is put in a group that is set to be hidden or unhidden as you come into the zone. So the entire ship is loaded in memory, but it's not visible to the player. It's not being rendered by the video card, so the memory can handle it. It knows it's all there. It's ready to be called up at a moment's notice, but it's not actually visible until you get onto that deck. So when you're on deck 19, only the objects on deck 19 are rendered and visible to you. Everything else is there. It's just kind of like turning the light switch off. And then when you walk up a stairwell to the next deck, you walk into that zone. It triggers the loading of all objects in that zone, and the other ones are hidden. So as you move about, even if you're turbo lifting, this is happening behind the scenes using the zones. and some clever coding that I figured out to help that along, you know. But that's how it's handled. It's a neat bit of trickery, you know. But it is all in there. It's all there.
So I have a question about turbo lifts.
Sure.
First off, what key do you hit to use the turbo lift? Because I could walk into them, but I couldn't actually.
Oh, there's a little panel on the back, and you just click on it. It's a little tiny square panel with a red button, and you click that, and it'll pop up.
Wow.
It pops.
Okay. Because there's those like twisty handle things that are on the wall, right?
Those are just decorations. Yeah.
Okay, but I remember in the show, like, Kirk would walk up and twist one, and that's how he was kind of controlling where it went. Yeah. But I thought it was pretty weird that there's, like, 10 of them in there.
Yeah.
You know, like, elevators only have one button, right? Really? So that was kind of – but how do the turbo lifts work? Do they go up and down and left and right? You know, are they like little subway cars that are in the ship? Because there's a lot more than just vertical, you know, the ship how do you hit, like, engineering decks and stuff from it?
Sure. The tubes run all throughout the ship. They're horizontal, vertical. They can access any part of the deck. We actually, again, it's trickery. We're not moving the cars, okay? We're using a transform trick. Now, if we wanted to move the car physically, we could. The tubes are all cut out. You know, again, we used Franz Josef's blueprints, and we found out that some of the tubes don't line up. We made them line up. Like, you can, like, in the lower section, we have all the tubes cut. You can, like, walk through them with ladders and stuff and follow the whole trail. And there's a parking spot for each of the cars. So in theory, the whole system could physically be moving the cars if we really wanted it to, but there's no need to. All we do is we're transforming the players. So when you pick something on the map, a turbo lift destination, we then say transport the player into that lift. And it's
I was just curious about the, you know, because I figured you guys were just teleporting them around.
Yeah.
But as far as in the ship itself? What the heck is the turbo lifts.
It's like a maglev, right? Magnetic levitation. So they can go horizontal, vertical, and you don't have collisions, or you can have multiple cars in the tubes because every actual spot where the turbo lift stops is offset from the main tube. Okay, the tubes can be flying through, these cars can be flying through the tubes and parked to the side, and then another car can whisk past it. So in theory, all these tubes can be running all up and down over the ship, and they wouldn't collide.
Does any car from any place that you get into one, you can get out at any other turbo lift destination in the whole ship?
Next, yeah.
Or
you may be into ship connect. All the shafts connect. You can get to any section. So some, you know, forgetting to the back in the star drive section on the higher decks, you actually would travel down the neck all the way to the bottom decks and then back up. You know, that's how they work, because to get around certain objects, to get around engineering, we have to go down to go up. But all the shafts do connect from any point on the ship. The turbo lift car can go to any other point on the ship.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. In theory, anyway. That's what it is. But we made all the shafts work. Like, you can walk it. You can actually get into the shafts and walk them and climb the ladders. And
yeah, I got lost. Even after that video, I don't know if you saw, but I got a little lost in one of the shafts. I definitely got lost in another shaft or two, because god damn, those are crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I saw that on the video. I don't know if you saw it on the video, but I saw that after I flew the shuttle out, which was difficult. There's a Klingon ship hanging out.
That's right.
Out there. Can you fly into that as well? Can you fly onto the Klingon ship and walk around that too?
You can, just in the shuttle bay. And then there's a little shuttle bay garage underneath it where there's some Klingon fighters. So, you know, one of the options when you're playing the game, you can select to be a Klingon, right? And if you do that, you'll actually spawn in the shuttle bay on that D7 cruiser.
Huh.
And you go downstairs to the garage, you click on one of the fighters, and it'll spawn up in the hangar day. You go up there, you climb in the fighter, and you fly it out the back door of the thing, and you can fly over the Enterprise and land in the Enterprise with your Klingon fighter and set off the red alert and everything. It's it's pretty fun.
Yeah, and
I put that there so that if you were Klingon, you had a place to spawn. I figured it didn't make sense. You spawned on the Enterprise, you know. So, you know, when you spawn, you have to fly on board the Enterprise. Like, you know, it's fun.
No, that's true. And I tried a couple modes where the Klingons invade the ship, and I got killed pretty quickly.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
I didn't even see them. It was like one around a corner. It just got me. So yeah, there are a couple, like, tell us about the game modes that are in there now and what you have planned besides just walking around and going, ooh, ah.
Well, sure. I mean, the main thing we did try to focus on was just exploring the whole thing. So that's why we have the all decks there, and you can explore. And we want to keep turning things on and making more stuff work. We've got a lot in there now, but again, it's not complete. It'll never be really complete. I mean, there's so much to do. So yeah, just adding buttons, making that work is kind of where we want to focus. But we did build a shuttle flight mission, which is a lot of fun. The shuttle flight training, it has different, these rings are out the back, these floating rings are out in space behind the Enterprise, and you fly out, and depending on which ring you fly through, there's these different missions. One of them is, you know, destroy 25 asteroids, and all these asteroids will appear, and you got to blow them up. Another one is chase down a Klingon fighter, and you got to, you know, torpedo him before he torpedoes you. There's flying through, there's like an obstacle course where a bunch of rings appear, and you have to fly through them in the fastest time. You play the Red Alert mission where you have Scotty, who's trying to follow you down through the ship, trying to get engineering. Really hard to do. I threw that in as just a test of the AI code. And it was just interesting, so I left it in there. It is difficult. I've done it, but it's hard. These Klingons are trying to shoot you and Scotty, and, you know, it's a pain.
And he gets stuck on things.
Gets stuck on things, but it is doable. I was able to do it. But and then we have Klingon Hunt, where you have a bunch of Klingons spawn on the ship, and you got to chase them down. You can use your little locator. It'll tell you where they are. Like, they're on deck 20 port side, so then you go and try to stealth your way over and get them, you know. So that's what we got in there now. There's a lot to do in there right now. But in terms of what we have planned, other than outfitting the ship, I thought it'd be neat to have an away mission or two going to some of the classic areas of, you know, from the series. But
I was going to ask about that. Like, will you go to the Vasquez Rocks and all that stuff?
And that would be relatively easy. I mean, we have various scenery packs. We can create towns, villages. We can create, you know.
Really?
Yeah, different areas. We have access to all this artwork that we can put in. So we could try to create some of those areas. It'd be quite fun. But again, it's which one do you do? And we always seem to get caught up in some other thing, you know? but yeah, the idea with this thing is it's endless, right? You could just keep adding to it. I'd love to have community involvement. I'd love to get some of the other guys who are doing similar builds to contribute artwork. I mean, just because we built it this way doesn't mean it has to be the way. I mean, we could all talk about, you know, we could improve this deck that way, or on the show it looked better like this. You know, there's lots of stuff we could do. I'd really love to have a big community project eventually that just grew beyond us, you know?
Right. Now, could you add, like, because I keep thinking Bridge Commander, Star Trek Bridge Commander.
Yeah.
It was kind of halfway there. Like, yeah. It was kind of on the right track. It couldn't render the whole ship. That's what you wanted. You wanted to walk around the damn Enterprise, but you couldn't do that. You could only, like, go to a few different places.
Yeah.
But you can do missions and stuff. So do you think it's possible within maybe a year or two to maybe kind of merge that kind of mission-based simulator gameplay with this kind of walking around the ship type simulator? Do you think that would be possible to mix that kind of gameplay in there?
Well, I think it all comes down to story, really. I mean, the engine can do anything we want it to do. I'm pretty good with the coding. I can script anything. It's a question of story, right? Like, okay, we want a mission to be this kind of story. We can make that story play out with events and triggers and different objectives you have to do, like on the ship, or maybe you have to go down on an away mission to do something else. I mean, you could expand this into any kind of game. It could be into something like a Bridge Commander. It could go to something like an Elite Force. It could go to, I like it almost to like the 25th anniversary one, which to me was one of the greatest games ever. That was, I mean, that
oh,
was
yeah, amazing. That was amazing.
Kind of, we loved that game, and actually, we managed to extract some of the audio from that original CD-ROM. Remember the CD version had all the voice cast on it?
Oh God, yes, of course. I double dipped because of that. I first had the floppy version.
That's right, and then you bought the CD-ROM version to get the actual actors' voices on it.
And it was mind-fucking-blowing at the time.
Great, right? Well, we have that CD, and I found where they hid all the audio files. Like, oh my God, is it ever funny how they built a game back then? But anyway, I went through all the lectures, and I found all these old audio files, and it was all these little voice samples. You know, I had 25 versions of McCoy saying, "He's dead, Jim," you know, and it was just great. So we used those sounds in our game, a few of them. So when you kill a guy or whatever, when your guy dies, you know, you'll hear, "He's dead, Jim." Well, that's, you know, I think that we took it right out of that game, you know. Some other great Captain Kirk quotes in there that are just hilarious that we've snuck in little places. If you start clicking consoles on the bridge, you'll hear some fun stuff. We got some samples in there.
I should have done that. I was just so fascinated with walking around. I didn't even think about clicking on stuff.
Yeah. Well, you can click. You can change the main view screen. You can put the ship in warp, sort of, and see the main view screen going warp. You know, you can. Yeah, it's neat. You can click on the movie screen on deck 6 and watch William Shatner sing Rocket Man. I mean, it's awesome. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know that video, right?
Of course, I know that video.
Put it on deck 6. He's there in on the big screen. You know, you can sit there in the movie theater and have popcorn and watch Kirk sing Rocket Man.
So this could be basically like the foundation for however many other games based on the Enterprise. Like, basically, you're saying this could be extendable, something like that. This could be extended to an Elite Force type game, which kind of already is in there a little bit, but
yes, it's in as a first person shooter, right? So yeah. It's yeah.
So you could do that, or you could do like more of a Bridge Commander thing. You could do all that with this if you wanted to. That's how flexible Unity is.
Well, this isn't Unity. This is Torque, right?
Torque, right. Sorry. I get my engines confused.
Unity is great, too. It's just, it's different. It's something different. But Torque is all, it's all open source, or not open source, but we have access to the source, and we can change the engine, and we can do what we want with it as part of our license. And actually, now Torque has gone all free anyway. We were licensed users, but they decided to go MIT open source now. So now there's more contributions. So we can mess with our engine a lot more than we could with the Unity installation. Unity is great for some games, for prepackaged kind of thing. You want to get something out. It's simple. You want to go to iOS. I mean, that's not what we're doing. We play with Unity. Unreal Engine's awesome too, but it's expensive for royalties. We went with Torque originally because of cost, but then as it turned out, it ended up being the best thing for doing this anyway. Yeah, so it's what makes everything, makes us able to click on everything, makes us able to have shuttle flight and walking around and, you know, combat stuff and everything else all in one engine, you know?
Yeah, that shuttle stuff, I gotta say, that shuttle stuff was really impressive, being able to fly out there, turn around, see the interior of the ship from where you just were and see the little guy in the tower, not the tower, but you know what I'm talking about, the little control room and everything. Just so impressive. My computer is not the newest computer. It's decent, but, you know, it's not the newest thing. And it ran, I mean, it started a tiny bit, but it ran, for the most part, really well. And this is still a beta.
Taking that video very little. It was great to watch that and to know that it's working on someone else's machine other than just ours, you know, because you just never know.
Well, I figured this is not something you can just write about. This wouldn't convey what – this is really an achievement. I mean –
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the Elite Force 2 expansions allowed you to walk around Voyager, but Voyager's a small ship. I don't remember if it's actually smaller than the Constitution class, but I think it might be at least, no, I think it's smaller, at least deck-wise, in the amount of decks.
No, but you're right, but that's the closest anyone's come to really being able to have a game.
Exactly. That's where I was going. That's the closest anyone's come to have a fully rendered starship like this. And that's what we've just wanted in our games, to be able to walk around the ships.
Exactly.
You know? So this is super exciting, and especially to hear that this is like merely a foundation with which you can actually build other games upon it is even more exciting.
Yeah, it's one of those things I just don't think we'll ever put away, you know? Like, we can't sell it. We couldn't get a license.
Right.
But we're going to give it away, and we can try to get other people involved, and we can get interest. We're trying to build some other games and maybe make some money eventually, but, you know, it's up to you, right? You know?
Well, this I think would be a great portfolio piece.
That's it. That's kind of what it is. And it's a good learning exercise. It's been so much that, you know, we could build anything now with this engine.
I mean, damn. Now that you've built this, I'm sure people are wondering. I know I'm wondering, and I'm sure you've been asked, is the A next? Is the D next? Is there another Enterprise in the future? Because my favorite one is the refit.
You like the refit, eh?
That's my favorite one from the movies. That's my favorite one. I just love – there's something just classic and militaristic about that design I just love.
Like the bridge, everything is it's just different.
Yeah, and so, like, would it be possible to build the Star Trek VI Enterprise, for example?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Brian can do anything he puts his mind to. He just always been stuck on the original one, eh? We always just keep coming back to build the best TOS, you know, the best one we can.
No, that is the classic. That's the one a lot of us started with.
I watched TOS a lot too, but I was raised on Next Generation too, right? So I always loved the D, right? The D, it's like, oh my God, it's Galaxy class. Like, Brian, we have to build a Galaxy class, you know? But that's like, you know, that's insane. There's like 47 decks in that thing. It's you know, it's just gigantic.
That thing is several times the size of the Constitution class.
That's like a fool's errand trying to even tackle that.
That would be amazing. I mean, just building, I think, the saucer section of that ship alone would be a monumental undertaking. I mean, if you could do it, I mean, that'd be great. I mean, if you recall, I think I mentioned this in the video, that you could kind of do that with the Star Trek technical manual a little bit, but it wasn't the same. It was like you'd like walk from, quote unquote, walk from one pre-rendered bit in the corridor, I think, to the next pre-rendered bit in the corridor. And it just wasn't the same, man. Not like this, we can just walk around and stop and, oh, what's that? Oh, it's sick bay. Oh, what's that? Oh, you know. So I would love it if you guys could eventually do the A or the D. I'm maybe not the E, because that would be crazy. Or no, you know what you need to do? You need to do the Defiance.
It's possible. We actually do have a Sovereign. We were puttering with a Sovereign as a little sideshow.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and it looks really nice. I could sneak you a copy of how far we got. It's kind of neat.
I would love to see that, but what I'd really love to see is the Defiant.
Yeah, eh?
I think that'd be a great one, because it's not very big.
Yeah.
It has maybe 12 to 15 decks, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not maybe not even that many. I don't remember. But I love that ship. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, you could take this anywhere. It's just a bright question of where we want to focus our energy, you know? I'm guessing there will be a day when it's like, okay, we're putting the original one to bed, you know? let's work on a new one. But, I mean, yeah, wouldn't it be amazing to have all of them there in space dock, and you could shuttle out from one over to another and then explore that one and then shuttle to another one? And, I mean, wow, you know, that'd be great.
I need a towel, I think, after that. I need a moment. I'll be in my bunk.
It's just time. There's no technical reason why we couldn't do it. We know how to do it all. It's just time, right? And then decisions. What do you focus on? What do you do? And in terms of a gameplay, what story do you want to tell, or what? Oh, I mean, we could really take it anywhere. I'd love to hear feedback from people on what they like. And
now, have you been in touch with Paramount at all to see if you can get this licensed?
We did, actually, a couple of years ago. We did a little push when we released our demo thing, when we sort of, you know, we were ready to kind of sink our teeth and do the whole thing, but we thought we'd go shop it around a bit. I actually did get through all the way up to a VP at one point.
Oh, wow.
And it had to do, like, we got a nice rejection letter. But it had to do with contractual exclusivity rights with other companies for other games. Like, in other words, like, the words to us were legally unable to license us. It wasn't like, we don't like your product, or it's just we're legally unable to because of other commitments or something.
Because, like, Bethesda has it right now or something like that.
This is the thing. It's a fractured license, and it's very strange. You go to Paramount's website, they'll say there are no exclusive licenses. But when it comes to video games, it's kind of like that. They had a couple. They had Star Trek Online. They were hoping it was going to make a lot of money. They had this company in Germany was trying to build a web-based game based in Deep Space Nine universe. It was called Infinite Space, I think.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that fell apart, didn't it?
Apart. And Star Trek Online went free-to-play. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe if we try it again, there might be more interest. I mean, 50th anniversary is coming up. You know, you never know. I mean, I don't know what I want to do. What I want to do with that, it's kind of like, it's nice being able to give it away without being harassed, you know? Because when we got the rejection letter, we then asked, well, is there a problem if we continue to give it away? And there was no reason why we couldn't, so.
Yeah, if you're not selling it, they're not going to bug you.
So able to continue doing what we love and putting it out. But at the same time, if we really wanted to do it up right and really make, you know, make a tribute of it, we need funding, we need to, you know, we need a license, you know? So who knows? We'll see. I mean, it depends, you know. I'd like to get this out, get the full ship out, get some more buzz going, and just see what happens, you know.
So right now it's in beta. You got it out to a few testers.
Yeah, I think we're gonna put out another beta maybe next week, and then if it's all good, yeah, we fixed a few things and added a couple. Anyway, Brian just goes through. He's been going through the beta, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I got to fix this wall and fix that." And so I'm hoping that really the beta hasn't had any real problems. So I'm hoping that we're just going to give it away to everybody in like a month or something. Whenever we're ready, I'll post it up on the site. I'll do a mail out to everybody who's subscribed to our list and say, here it is. Finally, there's the whole ship for you.
That's soon. And it's got multiplayer capability. I haven't.
Well, yeah, that's all built in. Yeah, that's fun. It's quite fun, actually. You can have two guys walk around the ship together, or you can play the shuttle flight mission and race, you know, shuttles at each other, shoot each other. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, I'm going to have to try that now.
Yeah.
So you think it'll be ready in like, I think you said a month's time? You think it'll be done?
Well, yeah, Brian was saying he was pretty happy with it as is. I mean, he's fixing a few more things. I got a last round of changes from him a few days ago. I was going to package up a beta this past weekend, but it was Canada Day up here. That's our big, it's like your July 4th, you know?
I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask if you're in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, man, we had a fun day. God, it was great. It was it's on Monday. It's July 1st. Oh, it was great. Yeah, I'm in a band.
Oh, wow.
I have a buddy that his father restored an old logging scow that ran on the Gatineau River here, and he's built it up into like a Mississippi riverboat paddle wheeler. It's the only one in Canada that works. And it's a home-built thing, and it's like a houseboat. So I know the guy's son, and he said they're doing a cruise up to the village, you know, the Wakefield Village, which is near where I live. It's the local place. We're going up there on the boat, and he wants a band on the top deck playing. So my band was up there all day in the sun, drinking beer and playing music, and all the boaters all around us, like, having a good time.
What's the let's do it. Let's do a buzz thing. What's the name of your band?
Riverside Fantasy.
What fantasy?
The Riverside Fantasy.
Riverside Fantasy. You'll have to send me
aptly named for being on a boat.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Wow.
You'll have to send me a link to that.
Do you guys just do that Celine Dion song over and over?
God.
Or
good Christ, no. No, we're just a party band. It's nothing. We don't take ourselves too seriously. It's just fun. But it's, you know, it's a great time. Riverfantasy.ca. There you go.
Oh, email me that because I didn't hear all of it anyway. But email me that. I'll put it in the show notes. But, yeah, there's a strong Canadian legacy also with Star Trek. You know, William Shatner especially. Big Canadian. So that's just kind of funny.
Yeah, he's doing as well, eh? Mr. Scott.
Oh, Jimmy Doohan was Canadian?
Yeah, look it up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We live among you.
you're able to sneak in amongst us so well. It's creepy.
You should watch Canadian Bacon. It's a great movie.
I've actually never seen that one.
Oh, you should. It's a laugh.
Now, did Canada have anything to do with Jason of Star Command? Because James Doohan was in that. I thought that it was his finest role.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
No.
I urge you. It's on YouTube. Okay. See if you can make it past the first 5 minutes of episode one.
Jason?
I bet you can't.
Jason of Star Command? That's what it's called?
Yes.
Is it that bad?
It is incredibad. Yeah. It was basically, let's take some soap opera actor, dress him up like Han Solo, give him a spaceship, and then he needs a robot, but they gave him like a little wind-up toy that's a robot that sits on the desk, but it does things like, you know, shoots lasers and magically unlocks doors, and, you know, it's a magical robot. And then James Doohan is like his boss or something.
What?
That shows up in the show. Yeah, it's just bonkers. I couldn't watch it long enough to tell you more than that. I do remember seeing it when I was a kid, and even when I was like 8 years old, I was like, wow, this is putrid. So
I'm so confused.
Jason with Star Command, I'm writing that down. I gotta check that out.
I will definitely put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Definitely. What we ought to do is at the end of the show, we'll just all, I'll send you guys the link and we can all just watch it together and we'll see like who can last the longest. That can be the contest.
Just tackle the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
So you said you played the 25th anniversary.
Love it.
Star Trek game. Oh yeah. What would you say were some of your other, because we had a show about this talking about the highs and lows of Star Trek gaming.
I listened to that podcast. It was great. I checked it out when I heard about it.
Oh,
yeah, no, as far as the games go, I used to play. I go way back. Eh? I had a DOS machine. I used to play the really old Trek, you know, Star Trek on the mainframe, you know.
Oh wow, really?
Space, like, stuff like that,
like the 1978 Super Trek and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
What was the one, Brian? Your favorite Star Trek game where you had to like turn the ship and then like. You're typing in the names of the ships,
Trek
the target
73.
And stuff.
I still haven't gone back to that because I'm like afraid.
Because you fear pain.
I really do. No, have you ever heard of Trek 73?
Not on the podcast. No, I haven't actually played it.
Oh, yeah, it's like, you know how in Super Star Trek, which is like the one a lot of people know about, it's like your grid is a numeric keyboard. So you have 45 degrees, you have 90 degrees, you have, 0 degrees. You know what I'm talking about? And like you use the numeric keypad to tell like which direction to fire a proton torpedo or which direction to move. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, in this game, you actually have to type target, you have to actually hit like a target button. Then you have to type out the name of the ship.
Okay.
And you have to actually lock onto it first. And it's so obtuse.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's older than that one. It was made in '73. So it's even older than that one.
Sure.
And you can download it and you can play it in DOS. And I played it for like half an hour and it's, wow. It's crazy obtuse. I have to get back to it because I have to review it. I keep putting it off. I keep finding other excuses not to play it. I keep finding new shiny stuff like your game.
Yeah.
But you've been playing Trek games that long, huh? That's impressive.
Yeah, off and on. I mean, I didn't actually play a lot of them. I love the 25th anniversary one. I liked Elite Force because I could actually, could walk around a bit. And I liked kind of the first-person shooters around that time, so it was kind of fun. My game taste changed a lot over the years. So I wasn't into the kind of games that they were making for Trek, at the time.
Oh, that's fair.
Strategy and stuff, and got into that more later, but... But I love the 25th anniversary one. I've played that a few times. I bring it out every few years and just play it. Just so hilarious watching that. For its time, it was great. And it was the kind of game I always liked. I always liked those text adventure games. This was like a text adventure game with the animation and reminded me of those old Sierra games. I played tons of those, like King's Quest and all that.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Did you see, I don't know, that little tangent. There's on Kickstarter, they're Kickstarting. They're trying to fund a documentary about Sierra.
Oh, nice.
With who did all those King's Quest, Police Quest, Space Quest, all those wonderful, wonderful adventure games.
Can't forget that.
I really hope that they do that because an excellent companion movie to that is Jason Scott's documentary. The guy, it's textfiles.com is his website. He's very heavily involved in the Internet Archive project.
Okay.
But he did BBS, the documentary.
Oh my
was
God.
His first one, and which is available in its entirety on YouTube. And then there's also this new one that's called Get Lamp. It's a couple years old now, but it is about text adventure games.
Okay.
And of course, they talk about people who later evolved into those Sierra games. Because there's some discussion at length with the people from Sierra and stuff.
Oh, really? Too. Yep. You'll have to send me a link.
And Infocom and stuff.
Oh, you'll have to email me a link to that so I can put it in the show notes. And I also want to watch it. So
yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. They go back and interview the guys that made Colossal Cave on the mainframe.
Oh, my God.
Everything. And yeah.
Wow, how do they track all those people down, eh? That's great.
That's his thing. I mean, for the BBS documentary, he was years flying back and forth around the country, finding all the people that were in the art scene groups and the people that ran BBSs.
Oh,
and,
God.
It just became a web of who knows who and who can get me access to somebody for an interview.
Sure.
And yeah.
Like the guy.
So he spent.
Talking to guys from PC Board and all the other guys. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was he interviewed the guy, I believe he's passed away now, the guy that invented FidoNet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was talking to him, and yeah, it's just amazing history that's in there. And it's split into different sections. There's six different sections, I think. I remember it came on three DVDs, right? And I think it was two per DVD or whatever. But yeah, it's awesome, and very well packaged. He did a super professional job with the thing, for that being a first-time filmmaker making a documentary film and basically shipping it out of his bedroom.
Well, that's big. Can't wait to check it out.
Now, did you play, the Kobayashi Alternative and First Con? Did you play those Star Trek text adventures?
That one, no. I didn't play Kobayashi. That doesn't sound familiar, no.
Because they were, I said this in the video, they were, the only other games where you could actually walk all around the Enterprise. but it was a text adventure. So you didn't see anything. It was all your imagination. But you could walk into every room and every deck, and it was great.
Oh, that sounds really cool. No, like I said, I'm embarrassed too, but I haven't played as many as I should have, you know?
Well, you know what? As we said on that podcast, there are a lot of them that are crap. So don't feel embarrassed, because there were a lot that are just horrible. So don't feel bad.
Sad. It's so sad, eh? Even some of the newer ones, like, it's like, you just want more, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, the one that I saw a trailer for the new one and, you know, for the new movie and all that, the games they're putting out for that, it's okay, but...
Well, Jim played it. Jim, you played that game for the new movie, and it didn't sound very Trekky. Like
I didn't play it long. That's what
I'll
say.
You played it. I've not touched it. You've done more than I have.
Yeah, it's sort of a comedy of it's like it's not a bad game, but it just reminds me continuously of better games. So it's like, wow, I could be playing Mass Effect or. Yep. Playing, you know, some other game, and it's just like, why am I here? I don't know. It was like if they had held to the Star Trek-ness of it, and I was like learning something. Well, I'll give it this: the Gorn are very cool. Like they've updated the Gorn, and they talked about some things that actually were mentioned briefly in the film, where like the Vulcans have found new Vulcan, and they're bringing all the surviving Vulcans back. You know, trying to build a new world or whatever. And that's part of the very first mission that you're in. You go to this project where they're like harvesting off of a sun to power a new Vulcan. And there's this big space station that's a toroidal ring, right? And then there's like a shaft that goes down to the mining laser or whatever. And you have to run down that. And it's just like pieces of station that you have to rotate yourself around. You're like running around the rings trying to find a way down there and like hiding behind things when solar flares erupt. And it's kind of like this overly long action sequence that goes on for like 20 minutes. And I was just like, wow, is this it? Really? And then the Gorn show up. The Gorn are kind of cool because they kind of raptorized them. They actually remind me of the Jabberwock Muppet from The Muppet Show. Actually, kind of the design that they put on them, you know, with the heads and stuff. But it's they're a believable lizard man. I kind of like that, as opposed to that thing that Kirk had to karate chop.
That awkward thing, yeah.
Yeah, but did you see the commercial where they had Kirk and the old school Gorn like sitting there on the couch with the controller?
No, I haven't seen that. I feel like I should.
Oh God, it was funny. Yeah, they were playing the game. Right, and it's an ad for that game, and the Gorn's sitting there, and like Kirk's talking shit at him, and they end up like fighting with each other. So you know,
that's funny.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty great. But honestly, that's the best thing about the game was the commercial for it.
Yeah.
So, I got to the part where there was some shooting stuff, right? Like you're on the Enterprise and you control the guns, but the Enterprise guns are it's almost like. If you went back to the Commodore 64 and they had like, what the hell was it called? Beach Raid or something where there was like T boats. Huh?
Beachhead.
Yeah. Beachhead.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's like boats coming in and you're in a turret and you're just like shooting boats that are coming in. Yeah, it's like that, but you're on the Enterprise, right? And you're trying to shoot pieces off of Gorn ships. And then once you have enough hits with your little pew, pew, pew gun, then you can trigger, like, all the Enterprise guns come online and start, you know, that's, like, your bonus thing. But you have to charge it up.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, God, no. So at that point, I ejected.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound fun at all.
It felt like something that I was going through the motions of. It's one of those, like, let me put this on the easiest setting possible and just plow through it. Yeah. But I couldn't even make it through it that way. Because I just wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't having a good story either, so.
Yeah, without a story, you don't have that much of a game, really, you know, it's.
Yeah, basically.
It's a shame, but the great thing is we have fan projects like this Enterprise.
That's it.
Could maybe turn into an awesome game. I mean, it's an awesome showcase right now, you know.
No, I think the idea is, you know, maybe what we're trying to do is just build that we don't see in all the other games. Maybe that's what we're always trying to do. We're always trying to throw something in that we haven't seen before, that everyone wants to do, but, you know, Paramount never seems to get it, you know? I don't know. And so sometimes I think I want to take one of those 25th anniversary missions. There was like 4 or 6 missions in that game. I forget now, but just take one of those missions, put it in our engine, and have the same kind of events and everything, but just in the updated to the newer engine, you know, and being able to do cool stuff. And
yeah, I was going to ask about that. Like, would that be possible to like have?
It's just a story. It's just a bunch of events, right? Like click, you know, punch some buttons, send the Enterprise to here, then beam down here, then interact with this, find this, do that. I mean, it can't be that hard. It's just events, figures, and story. And
I bet you, man, I can't say I bet you money because then you'll get sued by Paramount, but or I'll get sued by Paramount. But I bet you something I would barter that people would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people who don't remember that game or didn't grow up with that game who don't know how awesome it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get all the sounds for it and everything. I could, you know, it's all there. Of course, you'd get into trouble maybe, but maybe you wouldn't. You know, maybe they'd be flattered. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're not selling it, I don't know if you would get into trouble. I mean,
game and updating it for the day, you know?
I mean, they're not selling it. I mean, it's weird that GOG has some Interplay games, but they don't have those.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have any of the Star Trek ones. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
So who would sue you? I mean, would what's left of Interplay come after you? I mean,
no. I don't. So what should they say? Take it down? Like, I guess. I mean, that's it. You know, all I know is I'm sitting on that CD full of sounds, and I put in like a dozen of them into our game. I think they're hilarious. I'd love to rebuild the whole, if I had the time, I'd love to just rebuild that whole game in our engine, you know? It could be done. It'd be a little bit different how we'd have to handle some things, but in general, have the same kind of stuff. Like, there's some great dialogue there. Like, there's a mission that has Mud in it, you know? There's all this great dialogue between Kirk and Mud and everything else. We have all that, you know? You could have a lot of fun with it.
See, that would be great, and that would be like a love letter not only to Star Trek gaming but to that particular game.
Yeah.
So get on that. Why haven't you done that? You should get on that right now. You should start.
Oh, right now. Why can't we do that right now? Yeah.
You should start that today. You should start that right now. I mean, you had your July 4th. You had that 3 days ago. So tomorrow isn't a holiday for you. It's, you know, the 4th is, you know, our holiday.
Yeah, I'm off all week. I booked the week off work. So.
Oh, I'm jealous. That worked out well then. That worked out quite well. Because you're on the east coast of Canada, as it were. You're a few hours ahead, right?
I'm just 20 minutes north of the capital of Ottawa. I'm in Quebec, which is Ottawa's in Ontario. It's on the border between Ontario and Quebec. It's on the river. So
I don't know. I don't know. I'm a typical American. I don't know where any of that is.
Well, the capital of Canada is Ottawa. It's in the east coast. It's just Toronto, you probably heard where Toronto is. We're about 4 hours from Toronto.
Okay.
It's a big place.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've always wanted to go because I hear it's lovely, but I've never been.
I've never been to LA either. So I've been to BC, though. I've been to Vancouver and Victoria. It's beautiful out there. I like the West Coast.
Yeah, the West Coast is nice. We have a nice ocean. I like it better than the other one.
I live on a river. I'm pretty spoiled. I look out my front door. I got the Gatineau River right in front of my face. I can walk out my front door, get in my canoe and paddle, and I'm 20 minutes north of the capital city. So life is
good. Oh. Do you work in the capital? Is that where you work?
Yeah, I have a government job. Yeah. Working for
the. It's kind of funny.
Are you recording this conversation?
Different government.
Oh, wait.
Different
wrong government. Jim, different Sorry. Government.
I work for Measurement Canada. The scariest thing we do is audit gas pumps and stuff. Make sure that they're not ripping it off, you know.
And when they do, they say, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, we got to audit your gas pump.
No,
sorry.
It's so funny. On The Daily Show last week, they did a thing of American bankers, the American banking system versus the Canadian banking system. And how American bankers are like, you can't have all this regulation, man. It would ruin the free market, while the Canadian system has tons of regulations. And apparently they've had no crash.
Nothing. It was like pretty tame up here.
100-some years, there's never been a crash. And like the best part was when they went on the street and they asked Canadians, what do you think of a banker? Oh, real nice. You know, I love bankers. They're really great people. They asked Americans, what do you think of bankers? Oh, they're the fucking scum of the earth. They're assholes. I hate them. You know, it's like, damn.
How much income disparity is there in Canada? because here we've got a very diminishing middle class. Yet, like the majority of the
That's happening everywhere. I mean, what can you say? That happens regardless. You know, in general though, it's pretty good. I mean, it depends where you live. In Toronto, for instance, is a huge city. It's like New York. You have the extremes. You know, Ottawa is a very clean city. Like, just there are some bad pockets or whatever, but in general, it's a pretty middle class city that way. There's not a lot of extremes, so to speak. And where I live is even it's kind of an affluent area because it's on the river and it's north of town. But at the same time, it's near a village with a lot of artists and locals, and so you have a bit of everything out here. I don't think we see quite as much of the extremes as down there, but what do I know? You know, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I was just curious about the deal because you were saying where you guys didn't really feel the recession up there so much and the jobs and that. And I was just wondering if because here we've had such a like people have jobs, but it's not the same jobs that they used to have a few years ago. So things have shifted quite a bit. But I guess like up there, if you didn't get impacted too hard.
Well, it depends. If you're a student, you could still be totally overeducated and end up with a McJob, you know, just like anything else. You know, it's tough. And I have a government job, so I've been safe. I've been lucky, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good.
But stability means I get to work on games in my free time and not worry about having to pay the bills with it yet, you know?
And there's a lot of game development moving up to Canada, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of stuff's moving up here. There's some shops in Montreal that are really taking off, you know?
Yeah, Montreal, that's what, because I was hearing just a lot of companies are moving game development up there.
Yeah, it's 2 hours east of here. It's Montreal's a lot of fun. It's beautiful. It's a bilingual city, lots of French, lots of English, lots of mix, lots of culture. Big business going on. Yeah, exciting video game stuff. They got some great colleges there for animation, stuff like that. You know, it's Montreal's great. I'd like to live in Montreal, but I wouldn't like to live in Montreal, too. I'd like to visit Montreal. You know, it's my favorite place to visit.
But. That's how I feel about every other American city. I'd like to visit, but, you know, it's not L.A. You know, that's exactly how I feel. But anyway, yeah, let's take a look at this movie, this thing that Jim sent. Where is this thing? Let's take a look at this. Did you get the link?
I'm looking down here. Let's see.
There it is. I see it. Let's take a look at this thing. Thank you, Jim. Jason of Star Command. Let's see. It's this first one.
Did you say it's on YouTube?
Yeah, here it is.
Jason of Star Command, episode 1.
Oh my god.
Attack of the Dragon Ship.
Oh god. Charlie Dell, I know that guy. Oh god, James Doohan. Oh. This is so. What is the. Oh my god. Is that what we're watching? Chapter 13, Return of the Creature? Return of the Creature, that's the title?
Return of the Creature?
Oh, my God. I don't think I can watch anymore, Jim. I'm only 32 seconds in. There's a guy with a red eye patch. Oh, my God.
Monster from Planet of the Lost. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. No, I'm done. I kind of want to watch more, but not right now. I want to have a really bad day and then watch this so I know it can't get any worse. You know?
I see what's about the Han Solo kind of character. That's funny.
Yeah, he's got the vest and crap and the boots. Yeah, big collar, big 70s collar. Oh my god.
Here's a sidebar. You ever notice in Empire Strikes Back at the end after Han's been frozen and taken away, and then they're showing Lando in the ship and he's talking about, okay, we're gonna go save Han, and he's wearing Han's friggin' clothes. Did you notice that?
What?
Lando's in the ship in the Millennium Falcon wearing Han's vest. You know? You're like, why is it like?
I never noticed that. What?
Put his clothes here. Seriously.
Oh, my God. All right, why don't we wrap this up? Let's wrap this up. I'm getting a little tired myself. I always get up super early, so I'm always the one to turn in early. But, wait, what? Oh, yeah. So, Paul? Wait, yeah. Your name is Paul. Oh, my God. We keep having freaking Pauls on.
Yeah, it's a common name.
Why didn't I think of that earlier? We had a Paul on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and then we had a show where we just called each other Paul the entire show. Like, and now we have, oh, my God, it's all Paul all the time.
All right.
That's what the show is. It's all Paul all the time.
It's Paul to Paul.
Mm.
So, Paul, I want to thank you for taking the time.
Oh, well, thank
you. Out of your week off, so I can't say your busy schedule. Take the time out of your lackadaisical schedule to join us and talk about this awesome project. And I can't wait for the final version to go live because it was fun running around the Enterprise. That's like a childhood dream. Like, oh, my God, I'm on the ship. Oh, my God. So that was very exciting. So I want to thank you for joining us, Jim. Thank you for being an awesome co-host as always. Next week, folks, if things go well, we should have some of the folks behind Distant Worlds on. So stay tuned for that. And as always, leave if you have a comment or a question, you can leave it in the comments below, or you can email us at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great night.
And Brian, just for the record, how many seconds did you make it into Jason's
32.
Okay, that's the record to beat if you're playing along at home. 32 seconds.
But I'm a wuss. I'm a wussy. I have no backbone. So don't use me as a record. Don't use me as a yardstick.
No, it's the Jason of Star Command challenge. People have to write in and tell us what their scores are.
Oh my God, the Jason of Star Command.
I like it. I'll show it to my kids and see how long they last.
Oh yeah. God, kids. Oh yeah, good luck with that.
So Dad, you're like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever.
Oh, you know, we should give like a double score for inflicting this on children.
Oh, that's cruel, man.
It's like the Star Wars holiday special, but it was weekly.
Oh my God, that's a whole other show. You got to do something like Star Wars holiday special.
Oh,
that'll be our Christmas episode.
Man, this is cruel. This is cruel, man. Why would you do that?
Oh, good times. All right, good night, guys.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.
I lay sunshine down, but I see only one. Trying to think I'm over you. I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no warmth in the light. How I miss those desert skies.